Happy All Saints, All Souls Day. And we have our beautiful guest tonight from Celebrating Life, a monk and an ordained, Susan Chamberlain. So, Susan, how are you?
I'm great, Padre. How are you?
I'm good, actually, really good. I have been excited for this teleclass tonight because we usually do this together. I think this is our third year in a row. But to me, each year, we keep learning more and more about the saints and those who have gone before us. And I call it their legacy that is left behind. And I know you do a lot of research, and that's kind of your forte with the saints. Isn't that, Susan?
This is true, Padre. The energy, it's such a high vibration today because those saints, their energy is electrified. It's almost as if it's all of their birthdays, and you can feel each one of them.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, it feels that high, the vibration. I was like, it feels like a birthday, but it's all of their birthdays. There's a celebration of this holy union, which has been gone back as early as the 4th century.
Wow. And for those who do not know of Susan, she has a beautiful website, SusanGChamberlain.com, I believe. And she does readings, so if anyone is interested in any of those beautiful services, I would say give her a call, because she really does dial in. And as you'll be listening tonight to this program on All Souls Day, and also we'll be celebrating, Susan and I will be celebrating a communion service just for all those who have passed before us, because it's always about being in remembrance. And that's why I believe this is one of my beautiful feast days, in a sense, to celebrate, because we're remembering those who've gone before us. And our mentor, Padre Ron Roth, passed away 10 years ago. So at every service, but this one included, we get to honor their legacy, their spiritual nuggets they've left behind. So, and Susan, for preparing for this evening, who have you come across or maybe want to enlighten us this evening on some of those who have gone before us and left spiritual nuggets?
Well, Mother Mary is one, let me tell you. She has 7 feast days all to herself. She is considered,
really?
Yes, she's actually considered the most notorious saint. Literally, they consider her that.
Really?
She has the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin. She has Our Lady of Sorrows. She has Our Lady of the Rosary. She has the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin.
Oh,
the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, and the Assumption of Mary as well.
Interesting. Wow, she's got the whole Monty out there. That's awesome.
And they're
was unaware, even though individually I knew that, but put them together, that's beautiful.
Yes, and there were 4 dogmas actually in the Catholic Church, all considered right around Mother Mary. It's the perpetual virginity. It's the Mother of God, it's the Immaculate Conception, and the Assumption. All of those are dogmas of the Church and have been fought by many of the saints to keep Mary's energy alive, to keep her presence present, because not all religions follow her. The Catholics do, the Christians do.
Yeah.
Islam is one of the highest positions regarding Mary.
Well, I mean, she's such a bridge also, especially for those other religions who maybe can't access Christ. So all of a sudden, Mary shows up into their dreams or visions and perpetuates the idea of there's love out there that is seeking you. And wow, what a
beautiful... And she is doing that, Padre.
She is. I keep hearing those.
She is also mentioned in the Quran more than she is in the Bible.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. And there are two of the longest chapters in the Quran are actually devoted to Mary and her family.
Wow. Well, that's news to me. I'm so glad to hear that, though.
Yeah, she is obviously still our mother and considered a high, holy being of light. And there are several saints that really have dedicated most of their lives to her, like St. Louis de Montfort. He was a French Roman Catholic priest and confessor. He had organized the Company of Mary and the Daughters of Wisdom. He also brought the True Devotion of Mary, which is one of the greatest single books on Mary, as she shows a way of holiness that is short, easy, secure, and perfect. It's actually key to sanctity and a salvation through Mother Mary.
Interesting.
And he was canonized in 1947.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not. And he's actually from 1673 is when he was born, which is 303 years ago.
Wow.
But he was just canonized in 1947.
Amazing, amazing. Sometimes it takes a while for people, spirit, to actually come alive and recognize the gift they've left behind.
Yeah, but he's very, very popular today in this modern world, and especially with Mary, because that book, True Devotion to Mary, is really on like the bestseller list in the categories of Mary. It's a huge devotional book.
That's beautiful.
But you also have St. Alphonse de Liguori, also Italian Catholic bishop. He was a spiritual writer and composer and a musician. But he wrote The Glories of Mary in defense of Marian devotion, which is a practices towards Mary. Because in those days, 1696 is when he was born, there was a lot of controversy going on. It's near the Middle Ages and things are happening. And not always safe to be a Catholic or to be known as a Christian.
Kind of like today. We all need...
Well,
go ahead.
There are things happening with the church. This is why. And Padre Pio, many of the saints would often say, pray for the priests. And you can see why now.
And Mother Mary says that, especially in Medjugorje, she's always praying for the priest first, and then also for the flock, all those pilgrims, you know, and
yes,
praying for those who are sick, you know.
Considering they're leading the Mass at the church, you want
right.
them to be as pure as possible, leading people to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To their holiness and to the day that we celebrate today, All Saints Day.
Yeah. Right. And there's hundreds, millions of people out there that have their souls already in heaven seeking our prayers, our intercession also. So today
Absolutely.
We get to celebrate that.
Yes, and I have my candles lit for the souls that are both here and the other side because it's honor of their light.
Yes, yeah. They always say to make I make it a practice of going to the grave site for my families. To visit to say a prayer, lay a flower down, just in remembrance of all those who passed before us. As the heart remembers, but again, when you can physically go to a place like that, or just maybe go out in nature and just remember those loved ones, and we all have those. And to me, that's where tonight we can connect with them during this presentation and be in a remembrance, because that love covers a multitude of errors. In our lives and in their lives. And love
absolutely.
Really brings us together.
It absolutely does, Padre, and I totally agree. Because if you know a lot of the Catholic saints, and including our own beloved Ron Ross, who did often speak of, in these gatherings, there are more souls on the other side than present on this side. And it is so true.
Yeah. I remember I just had a healing service up in Infinity by Chicago. And when I was praying for the group of people, I got someone's grandpa just passed away. And, of course, there was a young mother there with three young kids, not the kids, but and she goes, that's my kid's grandpa. And he just recently died. And she was so overwhelmed by knowing his presence was there. But to me,
that's
what just really, and that you just pick up. It's the atmosphere. But it's how much we love each other. Why wouldn't we? Can communicate that way, and anyone can when they're praying, when they're connecting with the divine source, and that has
Absolutely.
All the information that is needed.
The divine heart is all in, we are one in that whole divinity.
Yeah.
Each and every one
yeah.
of us is connected through the heart way more than yeah. ever, not through the mind, but through the heart.
Right. And I know you can pick that's one of your gifts to know who's in the room or who's beside you. I don't necessarily see them. It's just information that comes to my spirit.
And you can feel them, Padre.
Yeah. And why I get these names and images,
Absolutely.
But I think you get, at least for the saints, you kind of know their energies, their aura. And you can actually define that, which I think is a beautiful thing.
Yes, because even when we would be present with Ron, I would watch him, and then I would see before he would say that saint, the saint would appear there, and then Ron would say their name.
Oh, wow. I love that. You know?
Yeah, because their presence, like you, or like you, Padre, as well, when in order for you to say their name, they're present. Like you said, whether you see them or not, you're getting their name. So if you're getting their name, they are present. They are right by you.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, and especially with our Celebrating Life retreats or healing services, all those things are possible because, to me, it's the atmosphere because you're a praying people. They gather. And it's like Padre Pio, when he says his mass, those saints or souls are looking for more prayer, more healing to be released, especially those, quote, in the Catholic term, purgatory, stuck between two levels, that our prayers and masses are intentions, even what we, quote, give up in order to help another soul to reach that beautiful light that we're all going towards. So
yes, and they congregate there on purpose.
Yeah.
And then your light, Padre, draws them in. They realize this is a place of healing, and more will gather.
Well, I believe it's that group energy. And I think it takes one to lead, but then we kind of like, through, I call it worship, prayer, meditation, our intentions, that kind of opens the door for them. They now have permission to come in. And just as they are tonight during this call, you know, I already feel the rooms, the atmosphere is changing. And I'm sure other people will feel their own loved ones begin to surround them. Some that just recently passed that, especially this year.
Absolutely, because they're really just on the other side of the veil, which actually isn't far away.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Well, especially if we grieve or we miss them, we kind of disconnect in a sense, and we can't feel that field. But when we're in a group energy, then it supports like opening the window, the veil for them to experience that. And many of you will experience that tonight for your loved ones.
Yes. As Jesus said, one or more gather in my name, all come.
Yes.
They all come. Yes. They can feel the vibration. They can see the light. As we saw the light in the sky when Jesus was on the planet, it's the same light. It lights the same divinity, and every soul is sparked by that light. Automatically come. It is a vibration of the divine, and it gathers the souls who are willing to continue their healing on the other side of the veil.
Wow. To me, the many years that I've been in service, especially with Ron Roth, and now on my own, but yet still carrying, I call it this group energy, call it ministry, wherever we go, this atmosphere is really being more tangibly accessed for people. So they get the encounters, not just me or our group or our team, but everyone can. We all have access. But to me, that's more the diligence about having a prayer atmosphere, meditation, a quietness in the morning, that we really develop that. And so those from the other side will have more access or clearer access for whatever we're going through. So it's really important that prayer becomes that tool to open that door for them.
Yes, and Padre Pio was a big one on that. Speaking of prayer, talking about the rosary. The rosary has been a phenomenal instrument in healing in times like this. I mean, even Padre Pio would say, in these times, the rosary is actually the prayer of weaponry, keeping you in a pure state, keeping you in a state of grace, keeping you with the Blessed Mother, keeping you on your divine path, and a focus where you're not distorted by what's happening around you, but your love and light can actually transmute through people to keep them in that same purity and that same love, because the connection is through the heart. So if one person is doing it in a neighborhood, the entire neighborhood is going to feel that in their heart.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, all the way back then.
Those who had the beautiful experience of attending any of Ron Ross services, retreats, healings, I always said that one of the characteristics of Padre Ron was he could control the atmosphere. He knew how to do that. And now that I'm moving into those areas now, I'm becoming aware of the intention behind that. And it yeah. really does open the door for healing or the other side to come through and feel your loved ones as we are tonight. But it really does matter. And to me, I always say it's about relationships, which in essence, I would call it community, as in celebrating life, or any other community or loved ones. We all have our feast days or birthdays or anniversaries or holidays like we've been celebrating. Then when we come together, there's an energy that comes with that. And to me, it really speaks highly of what our devotional participation is every single day, if we can do that. It's rote for me. It's something I love to do. And I just want to spread that joy to others. And as we go on tonight, we will experience more of that deepening of prayer, but also learning more about those who have gone before us. And one of the saints that I would say is kind of my buddy in a sense is Solanus Casey. And eventually he'll be a saint. But right now, Solanus Casey was a Franciscan monk. And his whole role, he wasn't his community didn't deem him to become a priest, but he became a porter at the door of the monastery. And so he surrendered to their acknowledgement. And so he just opened the door and took people's prayer requests. And unbeknownst to the community, people started to get healed just by him writing down and listening to their prayer. So just imagine your own prayers tonight as you go to bed or tomorrow morning. And knowing that there's a saint, there's a spiritual guide, there's the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Mary, whichever one that you're familiar with, that they're actually listening and writing down your prayer. That's how close the saints are for us. So I just want to encourage you that tonight can be a very fruitful night or tomorrow morning during your prayer time, because we're all accessing it right now on this call. And for those who are listening in the future, this is the day. Today is the day for you, for us, to commune more in that heavenly realm. Solanus Casey, he's been such a joy for me because he's kind of my image. He was bald, thin. Well, I don't take that characteristic on, but just the simplicity of his words. And I think to me, it's a model. And you know, we're always looking for, well, I have this personality, but who, just as you've been naming some of these saints, that we can model our own prayer life or examples of to lead us to this place of devotion to God. So,
and Solanus Casey actually passed away in 1957, so that wasn't too far away. He is also noted for his prayer, his devotion, and he was that doorkeeper. He never made it to the actual place that he wanted to get to in the church, and they kept him as the door monitor. The problem was that the church could not control the crowds that were coming just for him because his prayer was so dedicated. It's true, Padre. They had to move him through several different parts of the United States, including upstate New York, to try and hide him from the crowds. But because his prayer devotion was so strong, the vibration would bring the people. They would find him wherever they put him. But he really had a communion with saints, with God, with the other side, with healing. And you follow that case very much. He is one of your main guys. I have seen him with you from day one when Ron was here. We always seem to resemble our guide, and you very much resemble him, body, mind, and spirit. You carry that grace, and he has that grace. Your prayer is phenomenal. He had the same ability that you have with prayer and healing, and keeping people in alignment with what they're doing and their healing and their service to God.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate those kind words. There was a Lady Maria. We met her at John of God, and she was a great, beautiful artist. And I remember she used to come to our services out in California because she was from California, but we also seen her with John of God in Brazil. And I remember she said, well, I just want to take a picture of you and I want to paint you. And it's like, Okay, so I just stood by the wall, took a picture, and unbeknownst to her, she painted Solanus Casey in the back of me. And I have that hanging in my bedroom just as a reminder of who watches out for me, besides Padre Pio and Padre Ron Roth. But Solanus has always been there. And I believe part of the healing ministry comes through him because it's about the simplicity. But again, who are you? And I'm speaking to our audience tonight. Who do you reflect? Which saint, which sage, which holy person that you have an affinity towards? And if you don't, just pay attention and maybe one will show up, and then start reading their biography and you'll really be led to an amazing counterpart that's actually looking out for you. And
that's
during
very
our,
true, Padre.
Our retreats, Reverend Virginia, she gives saints out every year as maybe like a new guide for each year, and we get to go around and pick a name. And I just love that piece because sometimes we won't be familiar with a saint or a sage, but once we started inquiring, we really will understand that their DNA, their spiritual DNA, wants to affect us this year. Just as whether you go to church or the synagogue, it's like it's all part of that. It's about connecting with the other side.
Absolutely, and I think what Virginia does with those saints is a huge blessing, because what you'll notice is no one gets a saint by accident. And something
yeah.
in your life is reflecting their life. So you may have thought you picked them blindly, but
right.
It's more direct and it's not a coincidence. It's always on purpose with the divine. And it's something for you to grow deeper, as you said, in your faith, in your trust, in your love for God and for yourself and for those on the other side of the veil, which is why we're here today, in the celebration of those who have gone on, who have brought God and grace into the modern day and extended that from the past to the present and into the future. That line of God will never disappear. It just gets stronger as we go into the new, almost into the new year now.
Wow. And you know, I think we're all, that veil is getting thinner and thinner. Well, even like for this week, I kind of put out a prayer for our community to support the putting out the flames in California, those that are burning. And there's multiple Southern and Northern California. And I know some of the, I think the Northern ones, they're like 67% contained now. So to me, it's about the group prayer, the group intention. So whatever intention anyone has, even for this teleclass tonight, even though we might be maybe months or years from now listening to this, we're still connected in the spirit. So put out your prayer intention for tonight. Maybe it's to pray for the loved ones here in the physical realm, or for those who have passed on. Both have the intention, and God will fill both of those areas of our lives.
Absolutely. And even a simple prayer, even saying the rosary, which actually was converted because the monks in the ancient times would have to say 150 psalms, and
yeah.
They used the Psalms along with the Ave Marias in a certain order. So in honor of the 15 mysteries of our Lord, in which the Virgin was very much a part of, they decided to, and I believe it was St. Dominic of Prussia from the
Correct.
15th century, who actually brought that in, because he called it the life of Jesus in the rosary. And they
yeah.
started converting the Psalms to the Hail Marys, and then they used it from roses, into beads so that they can keep count. And it's a beautiful, simple way of honoring God and keeping yourself pure in God's grace. And
yeah.
it keeps you, even when you're going to deflect yourself and maybe commit a sin or do something that's not moral, this prayer and these prayer beads keep you from doing that, which is what Padre Pio often would say. It is the weapon of these times to keep you in your light with God.
Yeah.
Which is what we hear yeah. representing those on the other side who kept themselves in that line and hope that we, in honor of them, could keep ourselves in that same line of God's light, His love, His grace, and His joy just for being here on this planet, celebrating every day that we have breath.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, Susan, and the rosary is such a beautiful tool to draw us near. It's like for me or anyone, whether they're Christian or not, we have children that are born, and usually the parents pick godparents. So it's like Mary, the saints, St. Dominic, whoever it might be, Padre Pio, Solanus Casey, they'll be my spiritual godfather, godson, or godmother. But really is about that spiritual protection and having someone like our angels who assist us all the time. But we do, the scripture says, well, there's a cloud of witnesses that we actually have access to. So for those who might not be Catholic, it still is very palatable. You can tap into that. And to me, just explore it. I love the term when Dana Duryea, one of our community members, would always say, well, consider just allow it. Because sometimes our belief systems won't allow it because of what we were taught. But just extend it beyond that and say, okay, well, I'm curious. And allow that curiosity to take you to a different level of being. So I study in, I call it Purgatory, All Souls Day. A lot of, and we, if you're familiar with some of the saints, some of them talked about, like Sister Faustina, talked about the souls in purgatory that desire her prayers. And that's really getting serious with that communication. And there have been documented, especially in Rome, there's actually a museum for purgatory. And it shows those poor souls who have made contact with earthly beings like yourself and I, and they show up and they actually touch person's clothes, like touching my heart. Suddenly there'd be a hand burn mark in the shirt or the sleeve or the cloth at the mass. So it's like they gave us physical manifestation of purgatory being purged. And it's like, oh my God, it's like, if we don't believe, at least you'd be curious to say, I believe they're dissolving, because in Catholic tradition, purgatory means we're not totally there yet in heaven. So we need to, quote, work out our own salvation. So our prayers, our sacrifices can add up to their elevation into welcoming them into paradise. So we actually do play a role in those who have passed on. And in the Catholic Church, we do, quote, masses. Offer that up because there's that sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice. So when we remember Jesus on the cross during the Mass, it's like another rose, as St. Therese or Mother Mary would say. These are gifts that elevate the soul into a higher place.
That's absolutely true, Padre. And speaking of sacrifice, I'll just bring along St. Maximilian Kolbe. He passed away in 1941. He was in Poland, arrested in Poland in 1941, and he was sent to Auschwitz, the death camp.
Yeah.
And he was in a place where some prisoners escaped, so they took 10 men, and they put them all together and said they were going to pay the debt for the prisoners that escaped. So these 10 men, they were going to make them actually starve. So they're going to make them actually starve. So one man, when it came his time to speak, he was crying out. He didn't want to be in that group of 10 because his family was so important to him that he wanted to make sure that he didn't get in that group. So Maximilian Kolbe actually stood in his place, a priest in his honor, said, I'll go for you. And he actually laid down his life for another man. So
wow.
Within the 10 men that were left there to suffer, and they did suffer, in 3 weeks, only 4 of them were left. And the last ones died because they actually gave him carbolic acid. But while he was there with them, he was ministering to them because he couldn't stop helping bring God into their eyes, into their heart, into their lives, so that they would understand that they weren't just dying because these people didn't know what they were doing, but they would be holy and go to God.
Wow. There's a sacrifice. There's a love that a person didn't want to die. They will offer it up. Like Christ says, I will offer up my body, my soul, as a living sacrifice for all those who are past, present, and also future. And it's almost like a mother's love for your children, not a father's love. You would do anything to save your child. there's love beyond measure. There's a divine union with these souls. And so for us, we get to actually pray for them tonight and also offer whatever we have to, quote, as a sacrifice so they can be elevated more in the spirit of light. But Maximin Kolbe was one of those. That's why comes the saint, the recognition that it was selfless. But you only do that because you love. And I just want to continue to intensify that same character in me and within our ministry. So we just keep learning to love people more and more.
Absolutely. And I'll speak also about St. John Paul II, who was a pope for a long, long time. He actually was the first non-Italian pope in 455 years.
Wow.
And the first one from a Slavic country as well. He was 26 years as the pope, and he was the third longest one to be a pope that long.
Wow.
But he traveled more than any other pope. He extended influences of the church in places where it had not gone before.
Mm.
He extended apologies to groups that were also wronged by the church, including the Jewish and the Muslims. He helped the Solidarity movement also in the communist Poland. But one of his biggest things is when he was shot. And I posted this in the Facebook group because I wanted people to see what he wore and the person that he actually brought into his space, the one that shot him. And the guy told him, "I'm an excellent marksman. You should be actually dead. I'm not sure how you're still alive and how you healed and got better." And if you notice, and he did say this too, that when he was shot and he was falling to the ground, there was a woman there to pick him up. Somebody was comforting him, and he told everyone about it. And someone actually took a picture of when he was falling. They took that picture and made it go as far as they could with the resolution. And when you look at it, it's the Blessed Mother.
Oh, wow.
And she diverted the bullet so it didn't touch any of his organs. He walked out of that a miracle. But he has been devoted to her since he was a little boy.
Mm. Well, there's a holy soul like many of us. I had the privilege of shaking hands and having a picture with Pope John Paul II. And he was always my idol, because growing up for 26 years, he was my pope. And to have that opportunity with Padre Ron Roth was extraordinary. And now that he's a saint, just like Mother Teresa, one of those other beautiful souls that have touched our hearts and shown us what love is in action. We're all called to certain things, but if we listen to, I call it the Holy Spirit, who introduces us to our saints, our sages that will spiritually guide us, we can actually be a game changer. Whether you're a housewife, a police officer, retired, it doesn't matter what we are. We offer our lives as a living sacrifice every day during prayer. So the Holy Spirit can lead us. Our saints can lead us, and these holy souls. And I, this morning in my prayer time, I was thinking about my dad, who he took me to these. I lived on a farm, and there was an older couple, probably in their 70s or 80s, and they had this prayer group that they went on for 20 years. They met every, let's say, Monday night, and my dad heard about it, and so he was taking me, and I remember it was an old farmhouse. They were old, and here I'm just in my teens, and it's like, why do I really want to be here? So I went along with my dad, and that was the first time I ever heard of people praying in tongues. I didn't know what that was. And that was the first time I actually seen a foot grow out, even before Ron Roth did it. And it's like the spiritual seed that my dad positioned me to see, and now these, quote, miracles happen in our ministry. So it's like these are seeds planted, and to be grateful for your parents, your loved ones, your sister who passed on in 9/11, the jewel that she was to you, to your family, and now supports you on the other side. It all matters if we, let's say, pay attention to the gifts that are in front of us today.
It does, Padre, but this is what leads you to the prayer life that you have, stemming all the way from then to right now. I brought you all the way here, all of your grace. Your prayer is spot on, it's beautiful, and it's right where it's supposed to be.
Thank you.
In line with God.
Well, I know for you, Susan, the readings that you do and the saints that come through really support other people's prayer life, but also the encouragement to, quote, live instead of maybe retreat and want to die, that there are those around us that will support us in any area, whether we're losing our job, maybe we lost a child, a grandchild, or maybe even the fear of someone's trying to commit suicide in your family and they missed. There's all these great intercessors, but you have that clairvoyance that you can see. And just those encouraging words of supporting people, that there are people that still support them, even on the other side. I mean, that
Absolutely.
Is such a beautiful joy.
Well, we're lucky to be here because we are all actually called to the role of being a saint,
yeah.
being pure with God's love, to putting your brother as you would put yourself. We're supposed to be doing that, and they try to keep us in line with that. But it's important for the prayer to be in silence with God and to know that the other side is just as present as we are here.
Yeah. It brings it up. Ron Roth always used to say, well, we're all mystics. And I believe that. And let me define mystic. Mystic is a person who has the devotion to the divine, that really has this passion within each of us that wants to explore the more and go beyond the natural to the supernatural, where we actually came from and we're actually where we're going. So to be a part of, I call it the mystic that Ron Roth was, and to watch his prayer time. He was an avid, he prayed the rosary every day. Now, he wouldn't verbally say that to other people, but he did. And he read his scriptures, but he did a lot of just meditating. He was a thinker, but he loved to meditate and play his music. It's usually worship in the morning, but in the afternoon, it was more of Bach, Beethoven. He just loved to be inspired by the spiritual realm that's around us. So however you pick your prayer time, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, and hopefully all day, about thinking about God, it positions us for the more. And to me, that's what my life is about, is just pointing the way. As Solana's caping, allowing me to just open the door for you to see beyond. And Susan
Absolutely.
And I get privileged
okay.
tonight of leading you there.
Yeah, because we all have a chance to become a saint, which is why I love the saints' lives, because they were ordinary people trying to live an extraordinary experience, and they did. They accomplished that in the grace of God, because the grace is there. When we step out of alignment with that, we don't actually think, is God there? Yeah, he is there, but where are you? Where have you stepped out of your grace? And why is it that you feel that you can't find God? He's right there.
Yeah.
Always there. He's very present. It's us who step out of the characterization of being in that presence. And then we wonder why sometimes that we get lost. But the saints are there to point out to us that all things are possible with God. And we all do have a chance. Everyone has the same opportunity and the same chance, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what kind of life you think you're living. The saints went through a lot of tough things, but so do we. So we all have a chance to become a saint.
I agree with that 100%, Susan. And I also believe that was a prophetic word for people on this call. Of sometimes we just lose the mark, lose our point of view because of maybe suffering pain in the body or just a loss of someone or finances or a home, whatever, a car, doesn't matter what it might be. But loss really takes us to a different place. And sometimes we can't even, quote, feel our body because it shuts down, call it depression, fear. And it's, to me, this ritual of communion offers, it opens the door for the divine to have access again. I really want to concentrate on that tonight as we celebrate All Souls Day and All Saints Day and your day. And I like how you started out, Susan, about it's the saints' birthdays. All in one. It's a big woohoo. But I feel that.
Me too.
Yes. I can.
I feel that a huge celebration of all of them coming together. As they honor us, we are honoring them.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I agree. So if our participants have the elements near them, whether it's a piece of bread, a cracker, wine, water, however you see communion, and hopefully, like Susan, we have our candles lit. I have Padre Ron, Padre Peel, Solanus Casey, my parents, my sister who just passed on this year, my sister-in-law, all those, my brothers-in-laws. I have all those around me because we're celebrating their birthday, their birthday into a glorious heaven. So I'd like to start with communion just because we are in remembrance. Communion is about remembering. And I already know you're feeling the love of your loved ones around you. And that is the most important thing because it's love that connects us to the divine, to our family members, to our loved ones, the ones we loved and loved us. So if you have, or you could pick up the first one, why don't we first start with place your hand on your heart as a point of contact for all those that we got to live with, are in remembrance, and those who will come after us, our kids, our grandkids, our spiritual fathers and mothers or children, those who are even struggling on this earth today. Let's be in remembrance of them now. I just really sense the angels now helping the fire workers, firemen, firewomen, put out the flames in Northern California, Southern California, changing the winds now. They be calm. I speak to the wind, just as Jesus spoke to the storm. Be still. Be still and know I am God. So whatever is disturbing us tonight, maybe it's yourself, a family member, be still and know. God says that I am God. And I speak peace to the storms, to the fires, to the suicides, to the loneliness, to the despair. And I allow God's grace and God's ministering angels, those saints, those souls, to begin to bless, to begin to nurture. And some of you might going to feel like a kiss on the cheek or a hand on the shoulder. They're here. They're present. Thank you, O Lord our God, for this gift. So I pick up the element of the host, the bread. Jesus says, do this in memory. So that bread is the bread of life, which is Yeshua. And he said, the scripture says, he looked up to heaven, to his heavenly Father, his spiritual Father, and gave thanks for his life. And for this bread, as we do now. And it says he broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. This is my essence. This is my character. This is the door that opens up heaven. Do this in my memory. So as we partake of this bread now, it enters into our temple. What the scripture says is our body. And it makes it whole and complete. Receive the essence of Christ. And then I'll allow Susan to continue to lead us in this prayer.
As we graciously bless and sanctify this holy wine, for all who drink of this wine physically or spiritually, may they be led by the holy waters of heaven. May they be by our Holy Mother, Father God, lifted up in their spirits to holiness, to be the saints that we know they are, as we connect one by one in this living heart of God, as we drink this water, this holy wine, that it connects each of us through the vineyard of God's divine grace and lights our soul in the passion and compassion that we have for one another and for God, and we bring that through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And again, as we drink from the fountain of life, that spiritual nectar from heaven begins to fill us with confidence, with joy, with its healing presence. So it's in this atmosphere of God's glory that we speak forth healing to the body, to the heart. People with ear problems, be clear, be clear, be clear in the name of Jesus. Speak to the esophagus for those who have problems. I speak life back into the esophagus, the rotary cuff. Let the healing balm of the Holy Spirit begin to regenerate now. And let the complete flow, the motion of the shoulders be released now in the name of Jesus. Speak to those who have cancer. I adjure you in the name of the Father. I adjure you in the name of the Son. I adjure you in the name of the Holy Spirit. That spirit of cancer, I break its hold now off your life and off your body. Go back to God to be dealt with and in its place. Revitalize the body, the new cells multiply and grow, the new organs. Thank you, O Lord our God. Diabetes, I break the flow. I break the spirit of diabetes in the name of Jesus, and I cast it out. And in its place, Holy Spirit, let the rivers of heaven, let the river, the living rivers of heaven begin to fill their bodies now and just rise, just like a flood. It just rises up within us, and it fills us to overflow with joy for the mercies of God, the love of God, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, who this service is dedicated to, always bringing the souls to Jesus for healing, for embodiment of God's love and mercy. Thank you, O Lord our God. Susan, do you have any other words of knowledge?
That we bring forth the glory of our light. Realize that each soul here, whether they're hurting in their heart, mind, or body, that they remember the union of God, that we are whole and holiness, and that each one of us carries that torch to connect the cells in the body for healing, for bringing light into the soul, for acknowledging the grace that we are, that we are connected in this oneness, and that the spirit is eternal, and all healing is ever possible with God. As you bring in closer to your body some self-love, igniting your heart, the cells of your body are always listening to your divine words of wisdom, especially in your prayer, that you connect your body, mind, and spirit each and every day, because as you do, you gather the holiness and they stay whole and complete, that you not need to search always for healing, but every day that you come into union with God, you are healing every day, every part of you. And I thank you, Padre, because that prayer was beautiful.
You're welcome. Yours was too. I just got another inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For those who dads and sons and daughters are missing in action, or mothers who have left the family, fathers who have left the family, it's in my heart, there's just a discord in people's spirits. So I just want to pray right now that Saint Joseph, who watched over Jesus and was Mary's companion, to be a holy family, to reconnect again. So Father, just allow your grace, your saints, to heal the family, heal the wounds, help them to forgive, help them to surrender to God's almighty name, to submit to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We just say salvation and healing for the families. Some of you might be losing your home. We just, an overflow of God's mercy and kindness. Make a way, Lord, make a way for financial blessings. Financial blessings. And all those who've got their homes destroyed by the fires, restore, restore, restore. Man does what man does, but God leads the way. It for his promises, for he said he will take care of us. He will give us a home, a purpose, and a joy. So we rely on the very gifts and the promises of Christ in all our lives. And I seal in the good work of the Holy Spirit for this prayer on behalf of Susan and myself and our community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So be it. It is so. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, Susan, for being on the call, and thank you for all those who are listening in tonight and in the future. Your life
thank
is good.
You, Padre.
God is good. I love you, Susan. Thanks for being on the call.
Love you too, Padre. Thank you. So honored to be here, and I thank all the souls that have been present. Thank you.
Yes, for sure. Be well.